You're listening to SBS News.
Well, thank you, Minister, for joining us on SBS.
Great to be with you.
There was a lot of goodwill shown towards people with disability at the Jobs and Skills Summit, and it was great to see the opportunities in the employment space being discussed. But too many times people with disability and their advocates have been disappointed, either by delays, promises not being met, final outcomes falling a little bit short of what they hoped for. Why do you think this moment is different?
Well, I think there was something really special happening in the room where silos were broken down and there were challenges made to Australian businesses. There were challenges and stories explored there to really say, it's time to actually look at the barriers and determine, are there some artificial barriers in place that is stopping you taking on someone with a disability from a job opportunity, a career opportunity? So I think it was a really productive conversation, but you're right. We need to see outcomes from this. And there were some good initiatives announced at the summit. There was an MOU between the government and the Business Council of Australia to look at how we progress opportunities for people living with a disability into member businesses, but also a challenge more broadly. What can be done to break down these barriers? Because there's no point in businesses sort of complaining, and I understand why they are, about labour shortages, when we do have a group of people that want to get into the labour market, that desperately want a job, but are finding these barriers in front of them.
Tell me about the MOU. What do you hope to get out of it at the end? How will it work?
Well, the MOU with the Business Council of Australia is really at looking at working with the Business Council to look and identify career opportunities and some really, I think, tools about how to. How do we give people with a disability an opportunity? So really working with businesses to look at what are those opportunities and identify those opportunities, not just for jobs but for careers as well.
There is a lot of buy-in required from businesses, but often that requires, well, that does require a huge shift in perceptions and change in attitudes. How does that sort of play into the policies that you're trying to push?
Yeah, look, you're absolutely right. And I think within business and the wider community, there is this sort of attitudes that need to be broken down about job opportunities with people for a disability, with a disability. So I think there's real opportunity. And one of the other initiatives coming out of it, which I'm really pleased to announce today, is a pilot scheme into disability employment into the visitor economy. So we know in tourism and hospitality, there's a lot of small businesses. And for some small businesses, they don't have the big HR department that can help them with this. So what we've announced is over $3 million to actually partner with small and medium businesses to look at tools and resources to really help them with the how. Giving them a little bit of knowledge about it, I think a lot of these businesses will find out is a lot less difficult than they think it is.
What would you say to those businesses that are probably hesitant because they are smaller in scale and think that there needs to be major changes because there are still, you know, there's a lot of goodwill and people will say, yes, this is a great idea. But when it comes to action, they're still very hesitant.
Look, I would really encourage them to take a double look. There are a number of government programs that might help with workforce modifications or help with the tools and training about how to make your workplace more inclusive. But what I would say is the benefits for your business is greater than the investments you have to put in because what you will get is committed employees that can do the job, that are adequately qualified and will actually be incredibly loyal. So I think this is a really powerful message. And as I said, a lot of people living with a disability don't require any modifications. One of the key things coming out of the summit is it might be just simple things that are actually barriers to someone with a disability being employed. One of the really interesting things that came out is, for example, what does the job specification tell a person living with a disability? Is it inviting for someone with a disability to employ? A great example that's regularly referenced is an essential criteria of needing a driver's license. Now, there are some circumstances where people living with a disability don't have a driver's license, but they can still do the job that's been advertised. So there's a real challenge for business to have a look at some of the simple things.
Obviously, SBS, we've got a large migrant population where disability is probably seen as a taboo subject. There's a lot of shame that can be associated with cultural groups. What would you be saying to the migrant communities where they probably aren't aware of the opportunities that exist in Australia?
Yeah, I would like to let many migrant communities know that, you know, there are rights in Australia for people living with a disability, and that that you're entitled to equal access. Now, what does that look in practice? Sometimes we've got to continue to challenge those norms about what that right to equal access, right to services, right to access to buildings, to train stations, to public transport. So I would really like to say a strong message. And we are working as a federal government through the Australian Disability Strategy to look at how we continue to push the dial to ensure that Australia is an inclusive society. But in addition to that, I think the message coming from the summit is that people living with a disability have a lot to offer. Tenacity, you know, problem solving, how to make their way in a world that wasn't designed for them. That takes ingenuity, that takes problem solving. And so to actually recognise some of those assets as really positive things, I think is worth, and strengths, is worth sending a message that there are real strengths here that we need to draw on.
As you know, though, the disability community is quite broad. When we talk about minor modifications to the workplace, that really does cater towards the more functional end of the spectrum there. But what about those who require more assistance? How do you give them the same opportunities in the workplace?
Well, one of the key things that the NDIS was meant to do, and NDIS plans were meant to enable people living with a disability to have reach their economic and social potential. And so I think a focus in making sure that within NDIS plans there is a work plan, and you know, what are the goals and aspirations for work, actually made sure that they're explored in the plans and that supports that may be needed for that are embedded within NDIS plans. I think we've got to see those plans as reaching the potential of economic empowerment. So I think there's a range of different supports. There's workforce modifications, but also the opportunity to make sure that our NDIS plans do have employment and what's needed to support that employment embedded in those plans.
Do you see any changes to that to better support people?
Oh, I think making sure that in planning meetings that there is a discussion about employment opportunities, I think, is really critical. So I do think there is some opportunity, and they've got to work, of course, in concert with the government's disability employment services. So we run the employment services, and they've got to be working well too for people with a disability. So if we get it right as an employment aspiration in plans, but also make sure our employment services are fit for purpose, I think for many people that will provide an opportunity for them to access open employment.
And you've not been afraid to already make changes in that space?
No.
Do you foresee any other changes coming up?
Look, I believe in constant vigilance when it comes to government money being spent on programs, and I think the disability employment services should be no exception. So I make no apologies for discontinuing about 6% of underperforming DES services because they weren't providing people with a disability with the best service. They were poorly performing, and in my mind, people with a disability deserve the best employment service. So I will continue to be vigilant and working through how we deliver the best possible employment service that works with our NDIS, that works with businesses to deliver real job outcomes and careers for people living with a disability.
Are we talking about disability in the right way?
Well, I do think we need to be talking about disability in a much more strength-based approach. I think I was just recount a little story. I was at a children's birthday party on the weekend, and I bumped into a person that had just gone out on his own as an engineer, and he said that the person he employed had a disability, had no hearing, and said the tenacity, the problem solving that that individual brought to his business has been exceptional, better than what he would expect from someone perhaps without a disability. So I think let's talk about it in the strengths. We obviously need to talk about it in the supports that people need and the assistance that people need for them to truly reach their potential. But let's not forget the strengths as well.
Minister, thank you for your time.
Thank you.